an uncle of mine, he got a spectacular piece. It was a sepia-toned globe of the world, which was also a piece of furniture. And if you flicked the lever on the back, it was a liquor cabinet.
That music could only mean one thing.
And what's that?
That it's time for some ruminating.
Oh, yes. But not rompers today. We're doing something a little different today.
Yeah, but the romper spirit...
It's always there.
Still exists.
And by the way, before we get too far into this, you are...
Kevin Machino, and you are...
Leo Antonelli. But today...
We're not alone
in Studio 8. We have... This is history in the making here.
We've got some heavy hitters here.
Our first guests.
Ever. This is a world's premiere.
Yeah. Now, do you want to introduce who's sitting beside you today?
No, please. Bring them on. Bring them on.
Should they introduce themselves then?
No, I think that we have to be professional and introduce them.
Okay. Go. Well, who's sitting next to you?
Well, this is Matt Catalano.
Matt Catalano is here.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. If ever there was someone knowledgeable about fashion.
Oh.
This is pop culture in general, I would say. Yeah.
And
not to be outdone.
Oh, this guy here.
To your left.
Brian Howard, no slouch himself.
To say the least.
To say the most, I think. Do you guys want to say how thrilled you are to be here and so on?
Come on. Good to be here.
Oh, it's great to be here. This is truly an honor, and I've been listening to the podcast now for quite some time and enjoying the ruminations.
Yeah,
thank you.
Like two episodes, I think.
Yeah, it's fantastic. Brian?
They throw the word honor around a lot, but let me tell you, this is as high as it gets.
Wow. No hyperbole there, I don't think.
Not in the least. But, you know, if I could just say that there's so much talent packed on this stage, it's a wonder it hasn't collapsed yet.
Yeah, well, we're going to leave it all on the stage, I think, today, because we've got a pretty special episode. And I mentioned before that we're in our beautiful baby blue terry cloth rompers, but today we're in our Harry Giardino t-shirts. And you've also got your Van Heflin t-shirt, which we'll get into later.
Yeah, yeah. That's still, part of the empire.
Yeah, and that's why we brought these guys in, because they knew and know a lot about Harry Giardino's Store for Men, which is today's topic.
That's today's topic.
Yeah.
I mean, when we're talking men's fashion and the word Harry's comes to mind, it's not the Harry's that you're thinking
of. No, not Harry Rosen.
No.
And not... No.
This is a horse of a different color.
I thought you were talking about hairy fashion, which is something, specific to me that I have to look out for in all my fashion choices, how it is going to respond to my copious amounts of body hair.
Hey, Harry Giardino would have it no other way than that.
Yeah, I bet.
There's an ascot for that.
Oh, ascot and you shall receive. Should we talk about who Harry Giardino was?
I think.
To begin with?
Let's go back to the beginning.
Which is what?
Well, I don't know. he was his Hollywood prime.
Yeah, he's
right?
An actor. He was an actor.
Yeah.
And he did stage. I think he did brought a lot of stage theater work.
Hard to imagine him on stage.
Well, I mean, it would just be such a powerful experience, I think, that it would... I don't know. What do you guys think?
One word. Presence.
I think that says it all.
It does. It does.
I mean, you talk about the guys who had it, Brando, Dean.
Yeah. Giardino.
Yeah. I think that's a short list, but he's on it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Now, he did some film work. He was in Houseboat, I think, was one of his earlier films.
Houseboat.
That's Cary Grant.
Yeah, Cary Grant.
Sophia Loren. Hubba hubba.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. Do you imagine, do you think there was a little off-screen?
Oh, no doubt.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It would have to be.
It's a houseboat.
Are you talking Cary Grant or Sophia Loren with Giardino here?
I don't know.
Because it could be either, really. There's a lot of,
you know. Hollywood was wide open in those days, man.
Or could you imagine that threesome? That's a hell of a threesome right there.
It totally is.
Or don't imagine it.
No, where I first discovered Harry Giardino was in an old Outer Limits episode.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
Yeah. You want to talk about that?
Well, in this strange experiment, he switched minds with the mind of Gary Merrill.
That explains why you always confuse.
I always confuse them.
Because when we watched Clambake, of course, the great 1967 Elvis movie.
Yeah.
You said, hey, there's Harry Giardino. And I said, that's Gary Merrill.
That's Gary Merrill.
Which it was.
But, that's an honest mistake.
Oh, yeah, especially if you've seen that episode.
Yeah.
Which was called
The Human Factor.
Human Factor, right.
I think.
And there was someone else involved in this switch who.
Well, Sally Kellerman.
Yeah, who played the assistant.
Yeah.
Was she Giardino's assistant?
No.
Or she was Merrill's assistant.
Well, I get them mixed up. Don't forget.
The she was
Gary Merrill's assistant. If I have my people correct.
A Freaky Friday kind of deal.
Yeah. Because they did switch back in the end. I mean, sorry, spoiler.
But look, if you haven't seen it by now, you'll probably never watch that episode.
But even when, like, Merrill's mind was in...
Giardino's body?
Yeah, and vice versa. She still knew something, she still...
She had a sense.
Yeah.
That she had a sense.
I know I'm digging the body of Gary Merrill, but he's got the mind of Harry Giardino.
Wait a minute.
And you think, what's wrong with that, right?
Well, maybe what was the ultimate was the mind of Gary Merrill and the body of Harry Giardino.
Now you got something. But she wasn't attracted to that, though.
Well, that's what she said.
Mm, all right.
But who knows for sure.
He was also, I guess maybe his most famous role was Harry Callahan's boss in the Dirty Harry movie.
Oh, exactly. Yeah.
Lieutenant Al Bressler.
Wow.
Or as they say in Canada, Lieutenant Al Bressler. That's how they had to say it. They had to dub it.
Oh, he was also in...
Roller Coaster.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which is a great movie.
It is a great movie. It's...
It was kind of up and down.
It's a disaster movie.
Yeah.
Was it an Irwin Allen joint?
No, it wasn't.
Oh, that's too bad. It would have been better had it have been.
Yeah.
Had it been.
But he was... I don't know what he was. Some kind of safety... Inspector boss?
No. I think he was with the police force.
Oh, he's with the cops. Right.
Yeah. There was someone else who was the affable safety.
Oh, that was what's his name? George Siegel.
George Siegel.
Wasn't it?
Yeah. Or Dick York. Or Dick Sargent.
And Sparks. Remember Sparks? That weird
The hip LA ensemble?
Yeah. They were somehow performed in this movie.
Yes. Yes, they did.
Which was those guys would do anything, I think. Anyway.
And I'm glad. But we digress.
They probably just wanted a chance to work with Harry Giardino. I don't think they were in any scenes together. But this is how big Giardino was. Big enough that he could start his own line of clothing stores.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh,
but it wasn't just clothing.
No, it was
was accessories for,
men.
For men.
Yeah.
Can we say that?
We just did.
Can we say that on the air?
Well, I say that I use the term poor man's whatever, but I think in this case, Harry Giardino's store for men was a rich man's den for men.
Exactly.
Don't you think?
Exactly.
I don't know.
But when, he opened the first store opened in 1974?
74, I think, yeah.
And that was the flagship store in Brooklyn?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
His hometown.
His hometown.
Yeah. But there's a rumor about the origins. Matt, you mentioned this before.
Well, the store was actually a gift from his second wife.
Oh, he got it in the divorce.
He got it in the divorce.
Wow. You're never going to hear about this stuff on Wikipedia,
No, you won't.
This is total insider scoop.
I don't know if that's true, but in this studio, it doesn't really matter, right? We don't get too hung up on like truth.
On the details.
Truth, the truth never holds us back.
It spread like wildfire. They started opening locations all across the U.S. and Canada, right?
Yep.
And where were the stores in? Just trying to look at my notes here. In Canada, well, there was the store in Toronto, which was
a
beautiful store.
It was fantastic. Yeah. Beautiful.
Yeah. And there was Saskatoon, I think, was next, which was
sure,
weird.
Sure.
Gravenhurst.
Apparently.
Moncton, I believe.
And why not?
Lethbridge.
Alberta. Oh.
Medicine Hat.
That's
in Yak, Alberta. It's
I didn't know that.
Well, those are some manly locales.
Moose Jaw, I think, was one.
Moose Jaw. You can't get much more manly than that.
I think you said earlier it sounds like a Guess Who song, you know, the locations in Canada.
Is that a coincidence?
I don't know. Could it? I think he probably consulted with Burton Cummings, I would think. And I think that, and Randy, he did not consult with Randy Bachman. And I think that's what led
to
the breakup of the Guess Who.
Yeah.
I mean, that's speculation, but.
No. I think that's more than speculation.
Yeah, so you'd walk into this store and it was like, it's like unlike any shopping experience. First of all, you'd have the music. And do you remember what kind of music?
I think Frank was playing almost nonstop.
Yeah.
And of course, the Velvet Fog and Mel Torme. Mm-hmm. I mean, mm-hmm. You just walked in there and you felt like, you know, Ocean's 11.
Yeah.
You know, it was unbelievable. Unbelievable.
Yeah. And what, like we talked, as Matt pointed out, it's not just clothing, but they sold it all.
Products.
Let's talk about some of the merchandise that was for sale.
Well, I know an uncle of mine, he got a spectacular piece. It was a sepia-toned globe of the world. Which was also a piece of furniture, and if you flicked the lever on the back, it was a liquor cabinet.
Oh my God.
That's like right for the discreet executive.
Right. That's yes.
Love it. Love it.
Or the globe-trotting alcoholic. Either one. I believe.
Covered both ways.
Right. It goes both ways.
Yeah.
It's fantastic.
Yeah, and then as far as clothes, you were gonna get of course, the cravats, the
a good ascot.
Ascot.
You couldn't find a good ascot in many places, but you could at Harry's.
Oh, always. He had like that a Harry's. Whole like a whole wall, I think, of ascots.
Yeah, you've heard of the Wall of Sound?
Oh, this was the Wall of Ascots.
Yeah,
and I think Phil Spector I think he bought all his ascots there.
I think so too, because it actually helped in the recording studio. Yeah. It gave it a certain tone.
And where do you store all these ascots? Ascot caddy.
That's right. I mean, any man back then would have his own ascot caddy, right? You would have to.
Damn straight.
So that you know, depending on your mood, you could figure out what kind of an ascot day is this going to be, you know?
Turtlenecks? What about turtlenecks?
Oh, yeah. He had, he even sold the ones, remember, you showed me the picture of
Chet Baker.
Chet Baker.
Yeah.
Which was like maybe a 14-inch.
Oh, it was incredible.
Long turtleneck.
I've never seen anything like it. It looked like he was in a car accident or something, you know?
Like he was wearing a neck brace. Yeah.
It was the most lavish turtleneck ever.
And they all had a faintly goat-like smell.
Yes, they did.
Like Ape Scent Gloriola?
But 100% wool. Was not acrylic.
Not acrylic.
Not a speck of acrylic. I don't know. Other products, soap on a rope.
Yeah.
Central candles, you know, musk-like.
That's right, yeah.
Woodsy. I would say woodsy. Just like everything woodsy.
Anything. Cedar, sandalwood.
Yeah.
English leather.
Yeah.
Dirt.
Yeah. Beer.
A 1,000-piece puzzle of Rita Hayworth.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, I forgot about that. Good point, Matt.
This was like, you know, the week before Father's Day, you couldn't get in, right? It was like that whole week. That's the busiest time, right?
I queued up for hours.
Yeah. What am I going to get, Dad? You just head over to Harry Jardino's.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And problem solved.
The store.
They they used to sell gadgets. Like, yeah. You know, like gadgets.
Gadgets,
you know, like
yeah.
Stuff that, you know, like you would really, really need. Like they were like gadgets.
Yeah, like I think they sold the Jed Clampett there, I think, at one point. Well, that's another episode.
That's grist for another mill.
Yeah, yeah. But they did sell stuff like that. Like
sure.
So many different kinds of corkscrews and bottle openers, mm-hmm, for instance. Mm-hmm.
Lots of celebrity tie-ins.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like some high-level clientele, like a Robin Leach or a Stacy Keach.
Yeah.
Oh, gosh.
And someone, you were saying, Matt, they had wild turkey aprons, I believe.
Yeah, they had a whole line of whiskey-based cooking utensils, yes, and garments.
Which I think back then would probably be strictly for the outdoor grill, I would imagine, the barbecue.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it was a different time, right?
It was a different time.
Two Fingers Tequila.
They had a really, really confident kind of, some would say even arrogant kind of sales strategy, right? Like, their slogans, I got a couple. I wrote down a couple.
Well,
one was, at Harry Giardino's, we give you what we think is best, and we think that you'll agree. I mean, that's cocky, isn't it?
Well,
none of this, the customer's always right.
I'd call it bold.
Bold. They knew what they were.
They never steered anyone wrong, though.
No, and like, exactly. Which brings me to the next slogan.
That's the genius.
The next slogan, speaking of which, at Harry Giardino's, the customer is always wrong until we correct them.
Mm-hmm. Well,
that's cocky.
Hey, enough said.
But, you know, like I said, it was a different time. I mean, I think it lasted, what, in the early 80s, the last store closed, I think.
What do you think, Matt?
82.
Because it was just, there was a new breed coming, new time coming.
It was of its time, I would say. I mean, the word manosphere, I mean, they throw it around now. It's a negative term. And I'll tell you, back in 74, that was the real deal. That was the bee's knees. I'll tell you, it was amazing.
I think that was the actual title of the liquor cabinet globe, the manosphere.
Manosphere, yeah. I think it was.
I think it was.
I think that
what
rings
if you,
a bell.
What if you actually had one of those artifacts today? It would be worth
a lot. You see them sometimes on eBay.
Big time collector's
Kijiji
item.
Or something, yeah.
Yeah. And what, five or six digits, five or six figures we're
at
talking?
At least, I would think.
Yeah.
At least, yeah.
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 I still have a few of these up at the cottage. You know, like they're like little golf clubs and they're like, you know, the end is a stir stick or,
yeah, for your
you
bar.
Know, an opener,
oh,
you know, for your
fantastic.
Bar. I mean, it's, I don't know. They just don't make them like that anymore. They just don't.
Well, Brian, I think I spied you with a Harry Giardino garment on the other day. It was like a one of those sports jackets with the patches on the elbows.
I love those.
That was fantastic.
Man. Yeah.
That was and they nailed it with that.
The cut. The cut.
Matt, did I not see you in a convertible sporting some, you know, jaunty tweed English driving cap?
Yeah, it goes with my racing gloves.
Right.
Also available at Harry Giardino's.
Oh,
well,
yeah.
Back in the was.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, it really was a store for men. I mean, but you would see women in there, you know, shopping for husbands or...
They were trying to... they were trying to bring back the cologne high karate.
Yeah. Yes.
But... I don't know. I think licensing issues and all the rest.
It's it's dangerous stuff, though.
Well, they do the include instructions for self-defense in every package, though.
Oh.
Right?
Yeah.
So.
You know, it's the kind of store that Dean Martin, I think,
danger
would shop
in. Every application.
Yeah.
Perfect.
We can't be held responsible.
There's a disclaimer.
Yeah. You had to sign a waiver, and it was in the little cap. You unraveled it, and
they were trying to incorporate it, that scent, the high karate scent, into a soap on a rope.
Yeah. You know?
And so where the instructions for self-defense were actually embossed right into the bar of soap.
Yeah.
I don't think it ever worked.
No, because like, are you ever going to be in a situation where you're in the shower and you've got a, I guess you never know when you're putting wafting out.
Yeah. I heard that there were a lot of accidents and they had to just pull it because, you know, people kept invading people's showers. It was just like, it was like insane.
Anyone with a bathroom window.
Was susceptible.
What else were we going to talk about? Well, the spinoffs?
Because I was talking about, I just mentioned it kind of maybe a story that Dean Martin would, you know, I think of Dean Martin when he was the captain in Airport.
Yes.
And with Jacqueline Bisset.
Yeah.
And was that the great line where she's like getting him all riled up? And what does he say? He's like,
what is it? You get me all revved up and then throw me into reverse. You could damage my engines.
That's right. Whoa. So I don't know
That's
if you, yeah, if you remember, part of the plot of that movie was Desperate Bomber.
There was a plot?
There was a plot.
That was just part
That's
of
right.
it.
That's right. There was a plot with,
was
within
a plot.
It was a concept
of a plot.
It's a concept. That's right. That's where Donald Trump got the idea.
Well,
for his health plan.
Look, I think it was a subplot that Harry Giardino must have really liked.
Yeah, because we're talking about Van Heflin as Mad Bomber D.O. Guerrero.
Guerrero, yeah.
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 And he loved that movie and he loved...
Yeah, just like Howard Hughes, you know, his favorite movie was Ice Station Zebra.
That's
and he,
right,
and he would watch it in the nude, you know.
Yeah, he actually bought a Las Vegas TV station so they could show it every night. And they did,
wow.
So he could watch it every night.
What, Harry Giardino did that?
No, that's not... Whoa. But he was just as eccentric, right? Especially his plans for the Van Heflin room.
Oh.
By Harry Giardino.
Man, don't get me started on that. Okay,
well,
get me started.
Started. That was the whole, that was like, the whole point.
That was the same one.
Yeah.
And
speaking of.
Well.
Speaking of.
Leo, let's dig into this.
Okay.
Into this Van Heflin.
The plans. These are all... The plans, because it never got off the ground. But he was going to have this room.
For social derelicts and cast-offs of the world?
Ne'er-do-wells.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
And it was going to have, like, it was kind of a gimmick, but he wanted it to have reinforced concrete walls in case anyone did bring a bomb in.
Right.
Because he knew, like, hey, somebody's going to try this.
Yeah.
But, and, you know, you could buy like one-way plane tickets there.
and aviation insurance.
Yeah, vending machines with life insurance, which was Guerrero's whole, like he buys the plot, like the policy right at the airport, doesn't he?
Yeah. Paying which, with his last nickels and
no
dimes.
No suspicion there.
No.
I mean, as Guerrero's plot was, the Giardino's idea was not well thought out.
But I think he wanted to reach out to the downtrodden.
He did.
In society.
Like his story, he said it's not just for the, you know, the upperclassmen.
No.
I think that was a fatal mistake, though. I think it went downhill after that. And I just never recovered.
No. And he also was the victim of bad timing, I think, because it was the 70s and there were a lot of, like, real-life hijackings.
Yeah, mostly to Cuba.
Yeah, and he got some legal advice saying, you know what, you can't do this. And, you know, he didn't like to hear the word can't that often, but hey, lawyers, you know.
That's
And he never killed Dracula.
No. you think Van Heflin.
Oh, sorry. No. Yeah.
Yeah. There's a
Van Halen? No. Which band was it?
Oh. His eruption was really good, though.
Okay.
Oh,
but you know, but the stores were amazing. I think you know, in general, the stores were like the man himself.
Oh, how so?
Well,
or should I not?
Gritty,
gritty,
chiseled
presence, as Brian said. Yeah. Presence. It had a presence when you were in a mall.
Yeah. Open from 9 till 4.
That's right. right. That's right.
Like the man.
On the pavement.
I think they were open a lot, too. They were known for opening. They were one of the ones who tried to fight the Sunday closings in Ontario, I remember.
Yeah.
They were right up there.
Yep.
Remember his famous Boxing Day rant?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Those are great. And he did close, though, August 16th, 1977.
Oh, yeah.
The death of Elvis.
Yeah.
I got to respect that.
Yeah.
Which is unusual for him. But I mean, I don't know. It was of its time, but is there a place for something like that these days or?
No.
No.
it's, okay. That's a short answer. Well, good night.
And it's too bad. I think it's too bad.
It's just fun to reminisce.
It is fun to reminisce.
It's a bygone era, but it was, I don't know, it's pretty cool for its time.
Yeah. Like, are Denver men still around or?
No.
Are they gone too?
They are gone.
That's too bad.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
They had lots of gadgets.
Yeah.
What if we were to open a store like that?
Oh, we should.
With the proceeds from our podcast.
Whoa, yeah.
Once it
takes off. That'd be a really small store, I think.
Kiosk,
yeah, more like it. In a flea market.
A kiosk. Yeah, muffin spelled with three M's.
I love it. But you know what we would sell there that I don't think they did at Harry Jardine's? We would sell rompers, I think.
Well, yeah, but you know, if you have to ask, you can't afford them.
Yeah.
Rompers. That's because, right. Come on.
These are handmade.
You saw what it took to create those.
Oh, God, yeah.
Now, for context, just go to our first episode.
Yeah.
I hear that they only use German thread in their clothing because, you know, the Mexicans and the Chinese were trying to move in, but they said no.
No. German only.
German only. So you got to respect them for that.
Oh, yeah. It made the prices a little higher, but, you know, people were willing to pay, I think, for quality. Yeah. I don't know. I mean, I think you know, these gender-specific stores, are there any left anymore? Mm-hmm. It's hard because it's hard these days to... It would be difficult to open up a store like Harry Jardine's today, I think.
Well, it's... sometimes it's hard to be a man.
It is. It's so, so hard. We never get anything. As Matt said, finally a store for men. You know, finally something for men.
Something for men, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Like,
wow. Negate history and
all
that stuff. Like, we're owed something.
But I think they had, Matt, you said before, we were talking about before we came on air, that you described as understated luxury.
Understated luxury and overstated virility.
Yeah.
Right.
That's the word, virility.
Yeah.
Right.
I say.
As manly as our sensitivity will allow.
Oh, yes. That's right. I think that was another one of their slogans, wasn't it? Or is that just something you made up?
I don't know. I think Brian did that on the fly.
I read that on a bar of soap.
On a rope?
On a rope, I think. But then it disappeared while I was lathering. So I'm not sure.
I think that's why you needed the rope, because the saying was so long that it made the rope heavy and you needed to support it in some way.
Exactly.
It was a functional thing.
It was.
Yeah.
It was. Has to be a pretty stout piece of twine, right?
Yeah.
So
another thing you said was it was a bygone era of virility that just doesn't exist anymore. But maybe it's good that it doesn't exist. I don't know.
I don't know.
I don't know. We can reflect on it, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And we'll always have the t-shirts.
And the ascots.
And the ascots. And the fedoras. Don't forget the fedoras.
And the memories.
And the memories.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think.
No gadgets.
Like, where are you going to get an elephant tusk shoehorn?
No.
Seriously.
Exactly. You can't even get elephant tusks anymore. And I'm like, come on. I mean, elephants die, don't they? Of natural causes.
Yeah.
Why can't we just remove the tusks after the fact and make a shoehorn out of it? I don't see anything wrong with that.
Is that disrespectful?
We could shoehorn that in.
Yeah. Why not? I mean, I think an elephant would be proud to know that he gave his life for a gadget like that.
That reminds me of the fur coats. Remember the fur coats?
Yeah.
Oh, my. Just unbelievable.
Yeah,
I know. And only he could, you know, the way he made them.
Oh.
You know how a masculine,
yeah.
you know, it's a fine line, right, with the fur coat.
Yeah. It is.
So, yeah. You know, certain men can't pull it off, but
certain
at Harry's.
They did it.
Everyone did.
I think your average shopper would pull it off.
Yeah. And the varieties of fur were spectacular, right?
Yeah.
You had mink, chinchilla, pine marten.
Pine marten. Which is, again, another story.
That's
right.
That's kind of a sensitive species.
Now it's because I think of Harry Jardino's, I think.
Yeah.
They use too many. You can need a lot of pine martens to make up a coat, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
I think he just went to town.
How many pine martens?
Yeah. That's right.
There's a lot of famous painting called The Arnolfini Wedding by Van Eyck. And
Van Halen? Was
he the one that killed Dracula?
Yeah.
Tell us about this painting.
He is wearing a vest, and it's made out of pine martens.
Wow, really?
Oh. Historically, yeah.
I'm sure they sold a lot of vests at Harry Jardino's. I'm sure they had a pine marten vest in there somewhere.
God, they should have sold pine martens.
Like live?
Yeah,
live pine martens.
Yeah. That's a whole other license,
yeah.
You know?
Well,
I don't know.
They can skirt the whole licensing issue.
Maybe in Saskatoon you get away
with it. Yeah.
Not in Toronto.
You could still get away with it.
No. You want a pine marten? I get you a pine marten.
No questions asked.
Get you a pine marten by the end of the day.
This is a good segue into the next episode.
About the lodge.
About the lodge.
Yeah.
Because pine martens figure a lot.
They figure prominently into lodge culture.
As they would say in Hammy Hamster, but that's another story.
But that's another story for another day.
Yeah. But I think we're just about done here.
Well.
Are we done?
I think so.
There's probably something we're missing, but, you know, that's always the case.
So
I just want to say what an honor it was to have us come to Studio 8 and just, you know, reminisce.
Mm-hmm.
I feel more virile than I have in years.
There it is.
Right.
You look more virile.
Too. Yeah. Yeah.
Since you started. Mm.
Yeah.
What a treat. What an absolute treat.
Wow,
thank you, gentlemen.
Thank you. Thank
we're
you.
So glad that you guys were able to be our first guests, you know.
You're in Studio 8.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow. But I think I hear the outro music, so that means
the sweet strains.
Oh, Sean Bokenkamp. Gotta thank Sean again.
Nothing better.
Yeah. I wonder if he ever shopped at Harry Jardine's. It's probably too young. He's a little bit older.
But we can give him a complimentary copy of this podcast.
Wow. So generous.
Yeah.
Okay.
So we'll try that.
Well, I think that's it. Thank you for listening again, and hope you'll join us next time.